Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our message this morning is the second lesson of 1 Thessalonians 4, found on page 5 of our worship folder. How many of you enjoy going to wakes and funerals? I don't think there's a whole lot of people that do. I have probably been to more wakes and funerals than all of you. Maybe all of you put together. I still don't care for it. Now, what's the reason for that? I think one of the reasons is when we go to a wake, when we go to a funeral, it kind of reminds us of our own mortality. And we realize that the day is going to come when we are going to be the one in that casket with other people coming to say their last goodbyes and give their comfort to our loved ones. But I think another reason is that we just don't know what to say, right? I don't know if any of you read the Wells devotion on the Wells website or their phone app, but I read that every morning, and I read it this morning. It was actually based on this section of 1 Thessalonians, and it described people standing in line at a wake, you know, kind of wringing their hands as you're getting closer and closer to the front, wondering, what am I going to say? What can I say that is actually going to help? You know, and a lot of times we probably fall back on those typical cliches, right? I'm sorry for your loss. And we really are. Well, that's okay. He's in a better place. Which he may be. Or maybe we give him a hug, pat him on the back, and say, there. Everything's going to be all right. Time heals all wounds. And we mean all of those things, don't we? But have you ever been the one standing in front at the casket of a loved one and have people say those things to you? And they help, right? For the most part. But what's probably going through our minds at that point is when people give us a hug and pat us on the back and say, everything's going to be all right, we have a hard time believing that at that particular moment. And when people say, that's okay, your loved one's in a better place, well, the reason you're so sad is not because they're in a better place, it's because they're not there with you right now, and that's what you really want. And when people tell you time heals all wounds, we all know that time doesn't heal all wounds. It helps. But there are some wounds that will simply never be healed. And even if we tell them God will get you through it, which he will, what's really going through our minds is we want it to end, right? Because we don't like the sorrow, we don't like the sadness, we don't like the grief. When the Apostle Paul addressed these words to the people in Thessalonica, they were asking some very specific questions about Judgment Day and specifically about what is going to happen to their loved ones who have died in Christ, believers, when Jesus returned. And they were also kind of wondering, well, what's it going to be like for me if I'm still alive when Jesus returns? And as he does that, he really shares with us You know, the best thing that we can say to someone who's had a loved one who died in Christ, and that's that they're in heaven with Jesus, right? Because finally, isn't that the only comfort that's really going to matter? Is to know they're in heaven with Jesus. And as the Apostle Paul answers their questions, hopefully it'll answer some of ours too. I mean, have some of those questions gone through your mind? What exactly is going to happen on Judgment Day? What is exactly going to happen to all of my loved ones who have died and are buried? And what's it going to be like for me if I'm standing on this earth when Jesus decides to visibly return to this earth? And what the Apostle Paul is going to do is he first of all addresses, well, what's going to happen to our loved ones who've died in the Lord? And then he talks about what Judgment Day will be like for us. And keep in mind what we're talking about here is none of the fear and the judgment you talk about, some of the scripture readings we read today. We're talking about what it's going to be like for people who died as Christians and what it's going to be like for us as Christians if we're alive when Jesus returns. Listen to what he says. He says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." I notice that three different times he refers to death as falling asleep. Why does he do that? Yeah, I don't think Paul is just using a nicer word for death, right? Because we don't like to say someone died. We like to say, well, they passed on, right? Or something similar. That's not what Paul is doing. He's really describing what death is like for a Christian. It's like being asleep. When a Christian dies, their soul immediately goes to heaven, and their body, whether it's buried or cremated or whatever, it's like asleep. They are unaware of what's going on. They are unaware of the passage of time, just like you and I are when we sleep. But the real point he's making is that the day is coming when they're going to wake up from that sleep. They're asleep. And when they wake up, where are they going to be? See, God tells us that their body and their soul will be reunited again. And this is what he tells us. He says, God will bring with Jesus all who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, I tell you that we who are still alive and left to the coming of our Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. He says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. So we believe that God will bring with Jesus all who have fallen asleep in him. We believe that Jesus died for our sins. We believe that Jesus rose from the dead to assure us of a resurrection. So those who believe in Jesus, who believe that their sins are forgiven through Christ, who believe that Jesus is the risen Savior, they're going to be brought to life to be with Jesus. And that's why Paul says that there's nothing wrong with grief. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep or to grieve like other people who have no hope. He doesn't say it's wrong to grieve. He doesn't say there's anything wrong with tears and sorrow and sadness. But he doesn't want us to grieve without hope. Because we have hope, don't we? The hope we have in Christ. He You see how he answers their question? No, those relatives and friends of yours who died in Christ, don't worry. They're going to be raised to the dead, and they're going to be with you. And then he describes how it's all going to happen. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. This is probably the most concise, simplest description of Judgment Day in all of Scripture. The Lord himself will come down from heaven. It's going to be visible, right? We're going to see Jesus visibly. Remember on Ascension Day, Jesus rose up and a cloud came and took him from their sight. And while the disciples are looking up into heaven, an angel came and appeared to them and said, "Don't be afraid. This same Jesus who went into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go, coming in the clouds of heaven." It's going to be visible. Everyone is going to see Jesus. It's also going to be very audible. The Lord himself will descend with a shout, with a loud command, with the trumpet call of God. Nothing secret, nothing silent. We're going to know exactly what's happening. And then he says that those who have died will come out of their graves. Can you picture that? Can you imagine that? Anna and I go to the cemetery every Saturday. Can you imagine what it would be like standing in that cemetery at the grave of a loved one, and all of a sudden you hear that loud command, the shout and the trumpet call of God, and you see Jesus coming, and then what's going to happen in that cemetery? Can you imagine? I mean, all these people coming out of their graves alive? It's going to be awesome, isn't it? Think of the person you miss the most, the loved one you miss the most. And if you're alive on Judgment Day, that loved one is going to come back alive. And what does he say? They'll be standing there right with you. Body, soul, united together. And not to return and live in this sinful world. Those bodies will be glorified like Jesus. There will be no disabilities, right? There will be no pain, no heartache, no blindness, no deafness. Everything will be gone. And then what's going to happen? He says they will be caught up together with us to meet the Lord in the air. So what Jesus is going to do is he's going to take all of our loved ones who've died in Christ along with us and take us up to meet the Lord, to be with him in heaven for how long? We will be with the Lord forever. It's a pretty awesome day, isn't it? And for us as believers, that's not a day to be afraid of. It's a day to look forward to. It's no wonder at the end of this section, Paul says, "Therefore comfort one another with these words." Comfort one another with these words. So now, what's the best thing you can tell someone who's lost a loved one who died in the Lord? I mean, all those other things are fine. You're sorry for their loss, right? You grieve with them, but not as people who have no hope. but as people who have hope. The sure hope of eternal life. And that's what you want to say. It'd be so wonderful if you could just commit these words to memory. The dead in Christ will rise first, right? And then along with us will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever. Tell him death is asleep. Tell him the day will coming when they'll wake up. And they'll be with Christ forever. There is no greater comfort. It's the best comfort there is. It's the reason we have hope. It's what dries our tears. So look at these words and use them the way God wants us to use them. Comfort one another with these words. Amen.